live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, John Hume will make his final journey from Donegal to Derry this evening. Parts of West Donegal have been severely impacted by flooding today. The National Public Health Emergency Team appears to have recommended pubs remain shut. Plans for a crematorium in Donegal have been submitted to Donegal County Council. A Donegal Garda Sergeant says the number of arrests for drink and drug driving in the county over the past week is worrying. And figures reveal that more than 650 GP practices received over €300,000 each in medical card payments last year. Those stories to follow in full, plus more. First in news, John Hume will make his final journey from Donegal to Derry this evening. The former Nobel Peace Prize winner will be removed from his home in Moville to St Eugene's Cathedral, Derry. The 83-year-old's family have asked people to pay their respects by lighting a candle at home at 9 p.m. to celebrate his life, as they are anxious a public gathering for John's funeral might pose a public health risk due to COVID-19. His funeral will be live streamed as it takes place from 11:30 tomorrow morning. On today's 9 till noon show, Bishop of Derry, Dr. Donal McEwan, said John Hume's legacy is a pathway to conflict resolution based on his own experience in Derry.
He spent all of his life saying, how can I serve the town that I loved so well? And the lessons that he learnt from the hard work that he went through here are very applicable in any conflict, any situation, be it domestic, be it personal, be it political or whatever else. He's left us a template and also left us a sense of hope. No matter how intractable a conflict may seem to be, it is possible to find a way forward by building bridges, by reassuring people, by keeping repeating the same message, by bringing people on board and helping them to look and tell a different story about their past so they can envision a different future.
Taoiseach Micheál Martin told Greg Hughes that at a time when things looked bleak, John Hume never gave up.
I grew up through all of the troubles in Cork and on our bulletins on a daily basis. One witnessed the terrible grief and anguish that violence brought, and the terrible atrocity after atrocity. And we didn't believe we'd ever see an end to it, actually. People today might find that difficult to comprehend, but we actually didn't believe we would see an end to it. It became such John Hume never lost hope. He never lost the energy in pursuing a new dispensation for people. And he was determined that future generations would not suffer the same anguish and the same grief. And I think we've all heard over the last number of days the inspiring words of a family member of a victim of the Graysteel massacre, when they spoke to John afterwards and said, keep on going, keep doing what you're doing, we need you to do it. And I think he was the voice of hope, of reason as well. I think he had this well thought out as to how one could get a resolution and get agreement from different traditions and different approaches. And he deserves extraordinary credit for that perseverance, because it must have borne very heavily on him as well and on his wife Pat, because to be, you know, a constitutional politician at the time and a politician during that period was very, very difficult.
Meanwhile, former Derry Journal editor Pat McGart says John Hume would not have regarded himself as a nationalist, but as a champion of equality and civil rights. He says as the son of a casual docker, John Hume didn't have an easy childhood, and that influenced his thinking.
Young Hume knew poverty, he knew hunger. He never forgot all that. I asked him one time what was his proudest achievement, and I thought he would say a Nobel Prize or something like that. What he said was setting up the credit union, and that's a fact. He was so proud of that. He said the credit union done more for poor and working class people than any other single thing, and he said it made a real difference in his life and lives of people. One of the things he did tell me was, you know this famous one, you can't eat a flag. Apparently Eddie McAteer was having a street meeting for the old Nationalist Party, and Hume was getting very agitated and involved, and his father looked around and saw his young son getting very emotional about all this. Where he says, listen son, calm down, you can't eat a flag. And Hume, you know, there's a lot of things, but he was never a nationalist. He was more of a political activist. He wanted civil rights and equality. That's really where, that was his big motivation.
Parts of West Donegal have been severely impacted by flooding today. Areas of Gidor, Crawley and Dunluce are impassable at the moment. It's expected some road closures will be implemented. A Standish yellow rainfall warning is in place for the county until 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Councillor John Hamish O'Farrie fears with a high tide expected, the rivers will not be able to cope with the continued rainfall.
Torrential rain over the last number of hours, and a number of roads have been closed. The Carving Road in Gidor, due to flooding, it's impassable there at the moment. The council is closing the road shortly. And also in Crawley, there's huge flooding occurring there due to the overflow of the Crawley River. The Court Hotel, at the Court Hotel there, just adjacent to that, there's huge flooding there, and also in Dunluce. So I would be telling motorists to be very vigilant when they're out driving and to be careful, and unnecessary journeys, try and not go out at all. This forecast is to last until 1 p.m. tomorrow, and with the high tide this week and the tide coming in the next hour and a half, I would say it'll even get worse due to the fact that the rivers will not be able to flow through properly with the high tide coming in. So it's a very dangerous situation here in the West Donegal at the moment due to the flooding. And when it gets darker in the evening, you won't be able to see the water lying on the road, which makes it more dangerous for motorists. So I would be advised extreme caution is needed.
And indeed, West Donegal has been no stranger to flooding, so we just hope now that there isn't too much damage caused.
Exactly, and like I said, the council crew have been out all day, and I praise the work, but their main aim is to keep the regional roads open and the main roads open in case of emergency or anything. But the back roads, I would advise people to be careful on back roads as the council isn't yet, because they're busy trying to flood-free the roads that are there at the moment, and closing some roads as well.
The National Public Health Emergency Team appears to have recommended pubs remain shut. The Taoiseach says he's received a very firm advice from the public health experts, which is being currently discussed at a cabinet meeting. Under Phase 4, pubs which don't serve food were due to reopen on Monday. But Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has cast doubt on this, saying they can't make any decisions which would affect the reopening of schools.
And we want to make sure we do nothing that jeopardises the opening of schools and colleges in the next couple of weeks. And that's why, on the advice of NPHET, we'll be recommending to Cabinet that we take a very cautious approach for the next couple of weeks. I know that's going to come as a further blow to some of the sectors that have not been reopened, but we just can't risk moving backwards or risk the schools reopening. So.
Well, for the 22nd day in a row, there have been no COVID-19 deaths reported in the north. There are 8 new cases of the virus. The region's death toll remains at 556, and there have been 5,996 cases. A Donegal Garda sergeant says the number of arrests for drink and drug driving in the county over the past week is worrying. 15 people were arrested for drink and drug driving offences over the past week, 7 for drink driving and 8 for drug driving. 5 of the drink driving arrests and 6 of the drug driving arrests occurred over the course of the bank holiday weekend. Sergeant Una Walsh is appealing to people to take responsibility with their actions.
I was around myself this weekend, both on and off duty, and a substantial increase in traffic in the county. And since last week, since we were on the show last week, there have been 15 people arrested in Donegal for intoxicated driving, 7 for drunk driving offences, and 8 for the offence of drug driving across the division. So the statistics are worrying. You know, that's 2 a day being caught. So they are worrying, and we're just making people aware that we're out there, that if you're drinking and driving, if you're under influence of drugs and driving, we're out there to get you, you know. So I'm appealing for people to be careful. Don't drink and drive. You know, we can tell people, have a drink and don't drive. Unfortunately, in relation to drug driving, we can't tell people to have a drug and don't drive, because drugs are illegal. But if you insist on taking drugs, please don't get behind the wheel of a car.
Plans for a crematorium in Donegal have been submitted to Donegal County Council. The proposed development in Manor Cunningham would have the capacity to conduct 5 to 20 cremations a week. Currently, people from the northwest have to travel to Belfast or Cavan for a cremation. Businessman Shane Stewart says so far the feedback has been positive.
The work of social architects, the things around where it should be located, transport links, also regards to potential pollutants could be in the air because you work with incinerators. So there's a lot of regulations, European regulations, which must be adhered to. But with the modern technologies and centimeters, we're currently in the process of procuring. It ticks all the boxes on that front. The architect's very confident that we have ample facilities for parking and also the transport thing. We've met with local residents currently near the site. We've also engaged with local funeral directors and residents, and the response has been very, very positive. As I say, there's no facility anywhere in the northwest region, closest being Cavan or Belfast. So you can imagine, it's quite a traumatic time if you go through. So if you lost a loved one, and probably the last thing you want to do is travel a couple hundred miles, and wait a few weeks to get a slot for a cremation. So we strongly believe it's a much-needed facility within the whole northwest region. The cemeteries are running out of space, believe it or not. There's less and less plots available, so the cost of burials are going up dramatically just through lack of space. So again, we believe the cremation will be more economic route, but again, it's everyone's preference. Not for everyone. Some people prefer it buried, some people get cremated, but we believe that if the facility is there within the local area, then more people will tend to use it.
More than 300,000 euro each in medical card payments last year. 50 doctors received over half a million euro, according to Freedom of Information files. In total, GP surgeries got 589 million euro under the scheme in 2019. But Dr. Dennis McCauley, the chairman of the Irish Medical Organisation's GP committee and Donegal Corner, is defending the payments.
The actual figure that's given to a general practitioner actually represents a grant that is given to him to run his practice. And that will involve, from that grant, will be paid staff costs, insurance costs and general running costs. So I think the headline figure is not representative of what a general practitioner actually earns. And I think we need to start breaking that sort of association.
10 people have been arrested as part of an investigation into historical sexual abuse in County Fermanagh. They're all aged between 63 and 78. They were arrested in Fermanagh, Belfast and Derry today, while a property in Fermanagh was also searched. The PSNI say they're investigating if there are any links between the alleged offending.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, where you'll find all the leading brands and running footwear from top names like Brooks, Asics and New Balance, in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
At 14 minutes past five, it's time now for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Yeah, thanks, Michaela. We're live here at Finn Park ahead of Finn Harps' first game back in Premier Division football since the resumption of the season. And coming up in just under a half an hour's time, we'll have full live match commentary to come with Dermot Doherty and Declan Boyd. There is, of course, a lot at stake here tonight in this Premier Division clash as 8th place Harps host Shelburne, who sit just above them in the table. A home win would see Harps leapfrog the Dublin club. As I said, we're just under a half an hour to go before kickoff. Let's hear from the man in Co-com tonight, former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyd, who says it's a big night for both clubs.
Big match for both clubs, obviously, and both teams coming off negative results of the weekend. So, I mean, we're at home, and obviously, Harps looking for 3 points. I mean, they've come near the end of the season, and they're fighting along with three or four other teams. So, it's imperative that we get 3 points tonight. Obviously, disappointing result at the weekend, but against Shamrock Rovers, always going to be difficult after Dundalk and Drums and Pat. So, they're all out to one. So, I suppose we've seen the goals. So, all they'd be looking for improved performance, and obviously, starting off a lot better than they did and cutting out individual mistakes as well. So, yeah, big game. Looking forward to it. Shelburne, we're quite confident, but I mean, they don't score too many goals, Shelburne, so it's going to be a big test for both teams. But we're hopefully with an improved performance and at home that we can pull out a big result.
That's Declan Boyle, who is on co-commentary with Dermot Doherty tonight. And Dermot joins me in the Highland booth here at Finn Park. Dermot, the rain continues to fall. It's been raining all day here in Ballybofey overnight. But given the weather that we've had over the course of the last 12 hours, lots of credit has to go to the ground staff here in Finn Park because the pitch is in pristine condition.
Yeah, it looks really well, doesn't it, Oisin? We're looking down at here. The two teams are out doing their pre-match build-ups. And the pitch does look really, really well. We've just got some team news as well, literally been handed to me, Oisin. So quick glance at it. And I think Harps have made one change from the team that lost the other night against Shamrock Rovers. Rory Harkin is in from the start, I see. Now, Rory came on at half-time for Mark Coyle in that defeat to Shamrock Rovers on Saturday. Saturday. I think that's the only change. Dave Webster is the player that drops down to the bench now. I think Webster picked up an injury in that game against Shamrock Rovers, so he's included on the bench. Whether or not he'll feature tonight is another thing, but other than that, I think Ollie Horgan has gone with more or less the same starting 11. So strong side, and this is our first time here at Finn Park since way back at the beginning of March. Oisín, it's 5 months ago now since Harps played Dundalk here, so it's all strange and it's all different for us, and we just have to get on with things. Shelburne, of course, like Harps, had a decent enough start to the season. They won their opening match away against Cork City, and they've moved on from then. They actually beat St. Pat's in one of their games as well, lost against Dundalk and lost against Bowes, but of course they came back just like Harps with a defeat in their first match at the weekend, losing at home to Waterford by a goal to nil.
Yeah, a win tonight for Ollie Horgan's men would be a great boost for after the defeat at Shamrock Rovers. A win tonight would be a great boost as we resume here at Finn Park, Chairman.
It would, and it's interesting as well, Oisín, a wee statistic. We're only back, and these teams have only played one game, but 13 matches played in the League of Ireland since the resumption, and there has only been one home victory in all those games, and that came at the Tallaght Stadium on Saturday, Shamrock Rovers against Shelburne, Shamrock Rovers against Harps. Hopefully that statistic will change tonight, because of course Harps have home advantage in this one, and as you say, a home one would be very, very important.
Okay, Jeremy Doherty, thank you very much indeed. Jeremy Doherty, match commentator tonight once again, Harps against Shelburne live on Highland as from the 5:45 kickoff time. Just some of the other sporting headlines from today. Celtic's Leo Connor has been named the FAI's under 21 international player of the year. Jack Byrne has won the SSE Air Trustee League Player of the Year. UEFA say they will take travel restrictions into account for upcoming Champions League and Europa League qualifiers. All qualifying rounds will be one-off affairs, with the teams drawn first gaining home advantage. However, Ireland currently has a green list to travel to 15 countries. UEFA will ask each club for relevant travel restrictions no later than 48 hours before each draw. Brentford are looking to return to England's top flight tonight for the first time since 1947. They face West London rivals Fulham, in the Championship playoff final. That starts at 7:45. Republic of Ireland's under 21 goalkeeper Gavin Bazuna has been added to Manchester City's Champions League squad. With Scott Carson's contract expiring, the former Shamrock Rovers keeper is now City's third. Hugh Grantham's Jordan Brown isn't going down without a fight in the first round match at the World Championships. Having trailed Mark Selby 7-4, he's won back-to-back frames to make it 7-6. On the other table, Martin Gould leads Stephen Maguire 6-1. Later this evening, Mark Allen will resume 5-4 up on Jamie Clark in their first-round match. Earlier, Sean Murphy suffered a shock defeat, going down 10-4 to Thailand's Napon Singkam. In boxing, Eric Donovan will get to fight for a title later this year. It's been confirmed that his bout with Zelpha Barrett will be for the IBF Intercontinental Super Flyweight title as part of Matchroom's Fight Camp series. And in cricket, Owen Morgan scored a century as England look like setting another big target for Ireland in the latest one-day international. A short time ago in Southampton, the hosts were 246 for 7 with 11 overs remaining. That's your sport update here on Highland. One more final reminder, join us from 5:45, Harps against Shelburne live on Highland with Jeremy Doherty and former Harps captain Declan Boyle. Back to you, Michaela.
Thanks, Oisín. And returning to some news, Gardaí and Letterkenny are investigating two break-ins over the past 6 days, one of them at a business premises in Claughfin, Castlefin, the other in Ballymacool, Letterkenny. Sergeant Eunan Walsh is appealing for information in both, starting with the Castlefin incident, which happened between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. yesterday.
A site off was broken into on the premises. Steel bars in the window were cut in order to gain access. It appears fortunately that nothing was stolen from the premises, but some effort was made. A substantial effort to get into the premises. So we're appealing for anyone who may have observed any unusual activity in the area, in the Claughfin area yesterday between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m, or who would have any information that would assist us, to contact Gardaí Letterkenny 07491 67100, or the confidential line 1-800-666-111. That's 1-800-666-111.
To Ballymacool now in Letterkenny.
Yes, another burglary which occurred last Wednesday between 7:30 p.m. on the 29th. and 8:30 a.m. on Thursday morning, the 30th of July, in the forest area of Ballymacool, a large residential area there. A garden shed of a house was forced open, a door was forced open, and a lawnmower and a strimmer were taken from the shed. And again, if anybody in the area has heard anything, maybe saw anything, or any information that may have benefit to us, contact the Gardaí again at Letterkenny 0749167100.
And you know, a lot of our most expensive stuff is kept in our sheds, and we probably spend the least amount of money in terms of security. You know, well, pick up a lock for €3 or €4.
Yeah, it can be hard to secure garden sheds the way you can maybe your private dwelling. But again, we're asking people to make sure that if you have any property in your shed, to make sure that it is locked.
There are calls for the Health and Safety Authority to increase the number of COVID-19 related inspections. There have been 2,648 checks carried out in relation to the reopening of the economy since May the 18th. However, the watchdog has 67 inspectors, while 500 were to be recruited to react to the pandemic. It works out as each inspector carrying out a check every 2 weeks. Sinn Féin TD David Colnan says there needs to be more transparency around the inspections.
I don't know, to be honest, how long it takes to carry out an inspection. I know a report has to follow as well, and there's been hundreds of reports that have been submitted by inspectors to the HSA. I think more can be done. I think one a week or less isn't enough. It seems to be one every second week. I'm not sure of the 500 inspectors they say were seconded, how many of them are actually carrying out inspections.
Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle says the government must address the complaints of asylum seekers that left vulnerable people choosing to go on hunger strike to have their voices heard. Last week, residents at a direct provision centre in Kerry began to refuse food in protest at their living conditions before ending their hunger strike on Thursday following the intervention of Justice Minister Helen McEntee. Speaking during the last topical issues debate in the Dáil before the summer recess, Deputy Pringle said the act sends a very strong message in this country.
I think, particularly as an Irish person, for anybody to be in hunger strike is sends a very strong message to us, and for the asylum seekers to feel that that is the only way that they can have their voices heard is telling itself in itself. And now it's time to resolve the issues and to deal fairly and quickly with those issues as well. And it's not enough to say that it's going to be over the next couple of months or the next 6 months or whatever. We want to know what the time frame is going to be, because I think that will be vital to make to ensuring that the issues will still be dealt with. And you know, and also the protesters had also demand that they would have be given access to a social worker so that they could air their grievances as well in a safe way. I wonder what the view of the department is in relation to that. And it actually shows that the faith that the asylum seekers have in IPAS and the officials of your department, which unfortunately they do not feel that they can talk to, and that happens an awful lot of the time, and that is a sign of something very wrong in the system as well, and that needs to be dealt with, Minister, and I hope that you will deal with that, and hopefully by moving it across to another Minister that might resolve it, but time will tell. We'll have to wait and see what happens.
Weather now, further heavy and persistent rain for a time this evening. However, some drier spells will follow. Scattered outbreaks of rain and drizzle will occur tonight with lowest temperatures of 14 to 16 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, John Hume will make his final journey from Donegal to Derry this evening. The former Nobel Peace Prize winner will be removed from his home in Moville to St. Eugene's Cathedral, Derry. Parts of West Donegal have been severely impacted by flooding today. Areas of Gidor, Crawley and Dunloo are impassable, and it's expected some road closures will be implemented. The National Public Health Emergency Team appears to have recommended pubs remain shut. The Taoiseach says he's received very firm advice from the public health experts, which is being currently discussed at a cabinet meeting. And plans for a crematorium in Donegal have been submitted to Donegal County Council. The proposed development in Manor Cunningham would have the capacity to conduct 5 to 20 cremations a week. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Tuesday evening, August the 4th. The death has occurred of Reba Carlin, Ney Walls, 40 Strabane Road, Castle Derg, funeral from her late home on Thursday morning at 20 past 11 for Requiem Mass at 12 noon in St Patrick's Church at Castle Derg, interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Due to government restrictions, the house, mass and interment are strictly private to family and close friends. The mass can be viewed via the parish webcam. Family flowers only please, donations in lieu of desire to Marie Curie Cancer Care, care of Charles Lynch, funeral director or any family member. The death has taken place of Robert Hamilton Cooper, 54 Church Road, Grace Hill, Ballymena, formerly of Castle Finn, County Donegal. Due to current restrictions, house and funeral are strictly private. No flowers, please. Donations in lieu if desired may be made payable to James Henry Funeral Services for Leukaemia and Lymphoma NI. The death has occurred of Maisie O'Kane, named McElwain, 20 Main Street, Drumquin. Due to government restrictions, the house, mass and interment are private to family and close friends. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to Marie Curie Cancer Care or the Alzheimer's Society, care of Jarlath O'Kane, Main Street, Drumquin. The death has occurred of Margaret Maggie McKinney, named Macaulay, Graffy, Castle Finn. Maggie's remains are reposing at the home of her son and daughter-in-law, Noel, and Julie McKinney, Graffy, Castle Finn. Funeral past 10 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St. Columbus Church, Donnyloop. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on the parish webcam, St. Columbus Church, Donnyloop. Due to government restrictions, the house, mass and interment are private to family and close friends. The death has occurred of Lizzie O'Donnell, née Porter, Clothwally, Dunloe. Removal this evening from McGlynn's funeral home going to St Cronus Church, Dunloe for 6 o'clock where she will repose overnight. Funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock with interment afterwards in the local cemetery. In compliance with current HSE and government guidelines, the house, funeral and burial will be private to the immediate family only, please. And the death has occurred of Bridget Heaney, You Drop In, Navaney Street, Ballybuffet. Funeral leaving her home tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorder at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. The funeral mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam at churchservices.tv/Stranorder. In compliance with current HSE and government guidelines, the house, funeral and burial will be private to family only, please.